What's up, everybody? Another episode of The Connected Show. And today we are going to be talking with Famous B. He's independent wrestling. I guess he's a star nowadays. He's got 423 fame blowing up. He's doing big things on Lucha Underground. The whole independent scene, he's just blowing up. Doing a lot of stuff here in San Diego. He's from LA, but he's doing stuff all over the place. But I have a chance to catch up with him every time he comes to San Diego. And great dude, man. We talk about, a couple times we hung out and this crazy time we went down to TJ to watch the Crash wrestling show down there with my boy Gus from FCW. But you got to check out all the stuff he's got going. He tells us some crazy stuff about the inside of the wrestling business. And he's going to take us kind of through his journey, his stuff that he was doing when he auditioned for WWE and now what he's doing with Lucha Underground. So I hope you guys enjoy this show. Spread the word. Thank you guys for sharing, subscribing, and rating. It's been a cool trip so far, and we hope that we can keep the hot episodes coming for you guys. So make sure you check this out. Before we get started, wanted to give a shout out to our sponsors here, Milton Motion, MiltonMotion.com. My boy Tim Hernandez, he's producing our podcast. He's producing other podcasts. He's a great photographer, and just all the way around, everything he's doing, man. You guys got to check him out. And if you guys need any services, photography, video, anything, make sure you check him out. MiltonMotion.com. Let's get into this with my boy Famous B, 423 Fame. Get connected.
Connected with Ruben. Yo, if you're C-O-N-E-C-T-A-D-O, you already know about the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide, so let's go. Across the globe, well respected, beasting on the industry. Connected.
Boom, Famous B, what's up?
Yo, what's up, Ruben Torres? Connected with Ruben Torres. Hey, man, I'm sorry for the excitement. I'm very excited, man. I just got to say, I got to tell yourself and I got to tell all the listeners out here right now that this has been a long time coming. Come on, Ruben, back me up with this.
Back me up with this song.
Let's travel back months in time. When we first connected, actually through Gus Parsons through FCW.
Yeah, yeah.
I met you literally crossing the border from the United States to Mexico. We met on those terms, which was awesome times. You know, shout out to the Crash Promotions down in TJ. Crash, you know. Yeah, it definitely got to stop.
Let me take you back even further. The very first time I met you, it was you came down here for a show with Ruben Zamora, and you were in San Diego at the Boys Knows YMCA, and it was like 2010, and I shot some video footage there, and I did some stuff where I interviewed Ruben Zamora back then. And that was the first time I seen you wrestle, and I had, you know, I was backstage briefly with Conan and them, because me and Conan have history. So I met you briefly then, and then we got to hang out down in TJ with Gus, and enjoyed that mission down there. So pretty crazy.
Absolutely, man. We go way back, and then you talk about the show down with Ruben Zamora and now with Mass Republic. I mean, man, let's just bring the fans up to date. I mean, that day where you officially met me and took videos and all that good stuff, I actually wrestled TJ Perkins that night.
Yeah.
I wrestled TJ Perkins that night. Oh, such a solid, phenomenal match. TJ Perkins is one of the great workers out here in Southern California. And obviously he's gone on to do plenty of fantastic shit he's worked a lot with TNA over all the years, and you know, he's just a phenomenal wrestler. And that night I got to get in the ring with Jeff Perkins for the very first time. That was actually the first night a part of the I want to say the San Diego Comic-Con weekend, because we worked, that was a Friday night. We worked that night at the show that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
We worked the next night, a part of the San Diego Comic-Con with NWA affiliate Mach 1, and we actually wrestled there as well. But, yeah, you know, we're going way back in the days. So we're digging real deep right here.
I'm telling you, man. I did my research, man. I was like, yeah, I gotta take it back real quick. So I had to do it. But man, you know, I recently had the opportunity. I went over to watch some Lucha Underground tapings over with Gus. Took a trip up there, and you know, I was checking out the new gimmick, the 423 Get Fame. tell me about the new gimmick. What's going on with that?
Oh man, 423. Get Fame. It's one of those gimmicks where it's like, it's not far from home in terms of me. It's not far from in terms of what I bring to the table to a gimmick. What I bring to the table in terms of a character, it is me. It's an extension of me. It's an extension of my wrestling persona, so to speak. So to speak.
I like that.
And what it is, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And what it is like, when you get Famous B outside the ring, Famous B doesn't just stop in the ring. Famous B is not just categorized by a 1-2-3 pinfall match, win, lose, or draw. No, I am not. I bring many things to the table, to professional wrestling. Because I am a professional wrestling advocate, I am a huge fan of the business. I look up to not only just the professional wrestlers, but the managers and the valets and the commentators and the production, the office, anything that has to do with professional wrestling, I am into it, because professional wrestling is my sport. It is the sport that I love. It is the sport that gets me going. It is the sport that when I was a 2-3-year-old child, I looked up to. And obviously, the end-all, be-all is not the in-ring performance. It's not the professional wrestlers, but there's more to the story. So when you look at 4-2-3 Get Fame, which is my character currently right now in Lucha Underground, and which you can see and find right now on the El Rey Network every Wednesday night, or on iTunes, 4-2-3 Get Fame is an extension of what I have become outside of the wrestling ring. Because obviously, you know, which we haven't spoke on and which we haven't talked about, is, you know, my wrestling persona, in which it goes back about 7 years. 7 years heavy, independent, strong, you know, running wild all over the North America, getting it in, making it happen, doing my thing at Famous B. But Famous B, the extension of the 4-2-3 Get Fame, is an extension of a managerial take on things in a 2016 take.
Yeah, I like that.
So to speak, you know. Absolutely. And the main thing is like, it's one of those things is, well, you know, to make a long story short, we want to take that, and when I say we, I say myself, Lucha Underground, and the powers that be, we want to take the fun in wrestling, which a lot of the, in the early 90s, obviously, managers were a lot of fun.
Yeah,
in the business, bar none. You talk about your Jimmy Hart, you talk about your Bobby Heenan,
yeah,
Mr. Fuji, your Harvey Whippleman. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You have so many dynamic characters who played a significant role in wrestling at that time that I feel like wrestling has gotten away from going into the nowadays. And all I'm trying to do is really, A, bring that back, and B, display another side of Famous D, because outside of, like I said, just being a wrestler, I have so much more to give to the wrestling audience that I want to share with them. And that's why we have the phone number 423 Get Fame, which is a legit number, and I advise you to call today. Have you called?
I haven't called. I didn't realize it was a real number. That's awesome.
It's a real number, bro. What do you think? I'm out here just playing games?
I didn't realize it. That is dope. I'm going to have to get, you know, when we get off of here, I'm gonna have to give that a call and check that out. What can we find on there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You definitely got to follow. You definitely got to give it a call, because what it is you call 423 Get Fame. And the reason behind calling 423 Get Fame is if you're in a state of, let's say, like, you're wondering how to get payment. If you're in a state of mediocrity, there we go. That's the word I was looking for. If you're in a state of mediocrity, you call 423 Get Fame. You talk to the Famous D, and here I come. I'm a life coach. I'm actually a life coach. I teach you all the tools, the tricks of the trade to become famous. And that's what I do. And then that's how we take what my role is in Lucha Underground and all the participants and talent. And it's many good talent in the temple who call me. And then the selected few I take and I leave them on a road. The
same. Nice.
That's the gist of the number.
So who came up with this gimmick? Was this Lucha Underground, or is this you?
This is definitely Lucha Underground. This is Lucha Nice. Underground, and it's a mixture of Lucha Underground and it's a mixture of myself.
So when they came to you and they said, hey, you know, we want to try this new direction with you. And once you got the idea of it and grasped it, was there a certain person right. that you were like, you know, trying to model that character after? Like, you know, I'm gonna.
No, not at all. No, not at all. I'm gonna stop you right there. No, I'm not trying to model this character after anybody. This is my character.
Nice.
This is distinctly made and distinctly thought of for me.
Nice.
There's anybody, if you think about this character, if you think about this number, if you think about everything that I've done on television with El Rey Network and Lucha Underground, you cannot copy or mirror or model this character after anybody else. This is distinctly me. This is Famous C. This comes from the head of Famous C. When I say from the head of Famous C, I mean the head of Famous C, myself, when I first got into the business and becoming a professional wrestler, I distinctly named myself Famous C through the Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy, which gave me the green light. Because my conviction was so strong, my passion was so strong, and it wasn't something that they was willing to just take the reins off of. It was something that they were like, okay, we're going to let this ride because this individual obviously has a goal. He sees where he wants to be. He has the drive. He has the passion to do it. And that's what I've done after all these years. I'm an 8-year professional in the business of professional wrestling. And Famous B is, bar none, you know, just my imagination, my idea. So therefore, when we talk about Lucha Underground and we talk about Famous B and we talk about 423 Get Fame, like I said, all it is just an extension of the wrestling version of what NXT has become for the last 8 years.
Nice.
But now it's turned into you know, something more that the fans can sink their teeth into. Yeah. In terms of a character, in terms of a telephone number where you can actually pick up and call. And now you see me doing more mic work, so to speak. Yeah. Mic work, and, you know, you hear my voice, so to speak, and, you know, more things like that. So it's just an extension of the wrestling version of what NXT has become over the last 8 years.
And one thing I heard you say earlier was how you love pretty much every aspect of wrestling when it comes to everything, when it's, you know, whether you're manager, whether you're in the ring, whether you're the valet, mm-hmm. commentators. I've mm-hmm. in every wrestler that I've spoken to, I've never heard anybody express that before. And
right.
And tell me why that is for you. Why is that so important for you?
Why it's important for me, and why, I mean, I can't tell you why nobody has ever acknowledged that. But for me, why I can tell you that is important for me is because when it comes to professional wrestling, when it comes to the sport, the in-ring work is not the end-all be-all.
Yeah.
You know, there's multiple things going on that makes what we see and what we love today in terms of professional wrestling as a whole work. Yeah. Whether it be the commentary. And when I say the commentary, who doesn't love back in the days hearing Gordon Solie and Jim Ross's young voice?
Yeah.
Hosting the show.
Yeah, Gorilla Monsoon. And
Gorilla Monsoon, yeah. And Jesse the Body Ventura. Yeah. And even a young Vince McMahon.
Yeah, even young Vince.
We didn't even know he was the owner of the fucking company. But yet, Vince McMahon, we hear his voice every Saturday night on Main Event. Yeah. Or every Saturday morning on Superstars. You know what I mean? Those people are influential and pushing the stories over, because you can have two wrestlers get in the ring, yeah, but if the person who isn't calling it isn't excited about what's going on, if that person isn't knowledgeable about what's going on, then what makes a fan, from a viewer's perspective who's just flipping channels, what makes them care about it if they don't know either of these two guys that's in the ring or girls who's fighting, who has a conflict, who's having a wrestling match? What makes them care about it? You know what I mean? It's the commentators. And then when you go and you strip down the match, and then it's like, okay, now because of the commentators, you're invested in the product.
Yeah.
You're invested in who's who. You're invested in who's fighting and why they're fighting. Yeah. Then you have the nostalgia of, okay, well, who's in whose corner? When you have that female, or when you have that dominant male, that outside presence who brings that much more significance to that individual who's in that contest, that means a whole lot as well. So, I mean, it's all a domino effect. It all trickles upon each other. It all makes the utmost sense to a fan, to a consumer's perspective. And it all did to me as a child. Like, you know, like, I took all those little hits and bits and perspectives into accommodation. And it led me to why I wanted to root for my favorite stars and why I wanted to hate the guys I wanted to hate. And it's all important, because at the end of the day, when you roll it all up into one ball, it makes the sport of professional wrestling, and every aspect is important. So me being an adult and not a child anymore, and not a fan, not a consumer, but being someone who has transpired into the business, I feel like I can contribute in each aspect that makes the sport go round as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
and I'm not one-track-minded. I got into the business as a professional wrestler, but my mind didn't stop there. I elevate myself to being someone who can put the business over to a fan as a professional wrestler, as a manager, as a commentator, as a ring announcer, etc., etc. Because I don't settle for less. I settle for the best.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, man. And, you know, I keep hearing you say wrestling as a sport. And, you know, nowadays, you know, with like people like, you know, in WWE, you don't call it wrestling anymore. It's called sports entertainment, and they're not called wrestlers.
Absolutely.
They're called superstars. And what's your take on that, since, you know, you've been in so many different promotions and knowing how, hey, you know, we still call ourselves wrestlers or luchadores, and over there it's a whole different animal.
Right.
What's your take on that?
At the end of the day, we are all, and when I say we are all, because I'm a professional wrestler, when I speak for myself and the other professional wrestlers, whether you be on the independent level, whether you be on the local market television level, whether you be on the national level, at the end of the day, we're all athletes.
Yeah.
We're all athletes. Just like the athletes that are in the NBA, just like the athletes that are in the MLB, just like the athletes that are in the NFL, we are all athletes, because guess what? We all work hard and we train to do our craft. If there was no training to do our craft, then we can't call ourselves athletes. If you didn't train to be an NBA basketball player, then guess what? You would not make an NBA team.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
If you didn't train in spring training session, or whatever they call the MLB training league and spring training league, you couldn't be an MLB baseball player.
Yeah.
If you didn't train to be in the NFL, you cannot be an NFL star. Same thing with wrestling. If you don't train, you can't be in a WWE, TNA, a Lucha Underground, a ROH. You cannot get there. So what takes our genre?
Yeah.
And who gives anybody the right to say, okay, well, you guys aren't professional athletes? Because it's ludicrous, because we are. Not anybody can just get up out of bed one day and say, you know what, I think I want to be a WWE superstar.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they fucking call up Stanford, they find a Connecticut, and they kick down the door and say, oh, are you going to hear me? Because I made a conscious decision that I want to be a professional wrestler. I want to be a WWE superstar. And then what? When you go and when it comes time to show and prove, and you get put in a match, and you know zero about A through Z, then what?
Yeah,
it's like the same. It's the same thing with a minor league. It's the same thing with an NBA D league.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with a. You know, like I said, it goes on and on. So my take is.
How hard nowadays is it to get into the business?
It's absolutely okay. Now, my first initial answer to that question was going to be it is extremely hard. That was my first initial answer to your question, but because even though it's very hard, it's not impossible, because I look at myself and I thought, and I think about where I came from the start to where I'm at now. Yes, it was hard. It was extremely hard, but it wasn't impossible.
Yeah.
And I know what it took. I know what it took to overcome the fact of it being hard to the fact of it being impossible. And what that took was the will. What it took was the mind power that you have to have. And what's funny is you need the same mind power in any of these sports that we're talking about. If you don't have the mind power to shoot 300 jump shots a day just so you can make 299 of them versus 50 of them, it's the same thing of taking 300 body slams a day and absorbing 300 of them versus absorbing just 50 and walking out the ring. It's the exact same thing. All it takes is the mind power and the will to succeed. And that's anything in life, Ruben. This is a life lesson. I am famous. I am a life coach.
There you go.
Anything that you want to do in life. We're not just talking about just wrestling. We're talking about in life. Anything that you set your mind to, you can do it.
Yeah.
And when it comes to sports, when it comes to the different aspects of the sports, whether it be wrestling, basketball, NBA, hockey, baseball, football, golf, whatever the fuck we're going to talk about, you have to have some sort of wherewithal to channel your mind into whatever it is that you want to do. Buckle in, fasten your seatbelt, and go along for that ride, however long it takes you to conquer or to be professional in your genre.
Yeah.
It's a mind state. And you have to be mentally focused in what it is that you want to do in order to be successful.
And at what point, and at what point did you realize, like, hey, this is what I want to do. This is my mind state. This is where I'm going. I'm gonna take this professional wrestling thing and make it me. At what point, what was your aha moment for you?
The week that I caught my school, Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy, the week that I called my school and said that I wanted to try out and that I wanted to do the professional wrestling thing, that was my mindset. That was my frame of mind, because I already, luckily, as a person, as a human being, knew that I didn't have time to waste. I wasn't going to waste anybody else's time. You know, I wasn't doing it for shits and giggles. I wasn't doing it because, like, oh, well, you know, I love professional wrestling. Let me go fuck around in somebody's ring and just say I did it. Ha, ha, ha. No way. No way, shape, or form. Because guess what? I sacrificed to be in that ring for the very first time. I sacrificed all my personal things that I was doing, all the time of my personal professional life that I was doing prior to professional wrestling, just to be in that ring for the first time. So I wasn't willing to just play around with the idea. I made a conscious decision the day I picked up the phone and called my school, which is the Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy, that I was going to be the best at this. And by God, I made good on that promise. And when I tell you I made good on that promise, I'm telling you 7 years later, on my anniversary, I posted a picture of myself the first year on Facebook. From me, it was a picture of me just flexing as a student my first year. And my trainer, Joey Chaos, you may know him from the early days of XPW and beyond. He's done incredible things in his career.
Yeah. He did some Lucha Underground for a little bit too, right? Like the first season.
He did.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I was there for some of those tapings. So tell me, being at Santino's, how did that go down? You chose that school. That it's a pretty legendary wrestling school that I know of. Tell me more about Santino's.
Well, I'll tell you this. It is a legendary wrestling school. And the funny thing about Santino's Brothers Wrestling Academy is, like, everybody from the trainers to the students who came from day one all together collectively made the school what it is. Because obviously the school was just a thought. It was a thought, and the school was created and invented from an idea of keeping a dream alive, which was the desire of my trainer, Joy Chaos, his tag team partner, Margo Santino, which collectively make the tag team on the independent scene of Santino Brothers, along with other XPW Asylum, members such as the Hardcore Homo Angel, the Human Horror Film Supreme, and all these guys I trained with, you know, from my early days of just getting into this. This was a school based off of Darren Dynamite D. McMillan, who was also a member of XPW, who unfortunately passed, and like a year before the school became in existence. And he was a very instrumental mentor to my trainer, who was Joy Chaos, who was the head trainer of Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy. So Joy Chaos was on Darren Dynamite McMillan's deathbed, and he's right there, and Darren told Joy to keep the dream alive. Keep the dream alive.
Nice, I like
and
that.
And that's what Joy did. He kept the dream alive. Unfortunately, Darren McMillan passed away. Mm-hmm. But Joy Chaos kept the dream alive. And that's what became of that conversation, the Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy. Mm-hmm. Joy just went and did what his mentor told him to do and keep the dream alive. And I am a product of that. So nice. Darren Dynamite McMillan, even though I didn't meet him, I've never met him. I never had the pleasure of meeting him, of training with him, of being in a ring with him, of wrestling with him. He is a grandfather of what I do, because all the energy and passion that Joey Chaos put into me as this student came from that one monumental moment of him telling him to keep the dream alive. Nice. And I am a product of keeping the dream alive. And that's what Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy represents. And nice. I am the first one. I am the first graduate of that school to do that. And I hold great regard and great respect in doing that. And as far as I go into this wrestling business, it all comes back full circle to that, because that's what I do it for, because that's what Joy Chaos did it for, and all his trainers did it for, and that's where I became a product of that, and that's what I preach, and that's when I train a student, that's what I do it for, and that's what they will become.
Yeah, man.
So as far as I go into the atmosphere of professional wrestling, it all stems from that.
That's awesome, man. And I know, right now with the growth of NXT, there's all these different, classes that they take that they give you know, some of the wrestlers, and some of that is cutting promos. How important do you feel that promos are in, not just in the business, but, you know, you now doing most, you know, a lot of mic work at Lucha Underground? How important is cutting promos, like being good on the mic?
It's 100% important. It's 100% important in the aspect of, it's 100% important in the aspect of the fact that when it comes to in-ring work, you're only a credit, in my opinion, per se. You're only accredited to that fact of who you are and what you mean in this business at a certain percent. When it comes to your mic skills, when it comes to your promo values, when it comes to your promo skills, that's another percent that you're accredited to. So I kind of feel like in this day and age, it's almost a clash between the two, because you can't have one without the other. Or if you do have one without the other, one of them has to speak more volumes than the other. So if you're asking me, okay, well, which one speaks more volume than the other? My answer would be, okay, well, your mic work is going to speak more volumes than the other. Because you can go out there and you can have a 5-star match, but if you can't tell the story of why you had that match, then the match means nothing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you can't go out there and if you can't relate to the audience, whether it be in a Henry promo, whether it be in a behind-the-scenes promo, a backstage promo, whether it be in a different role that has you in a, in a light, or portrays you in a light where you're speaking in a promo matter, which gets over an angle or a storyline, it kind of all goes down the drain, because the person who really gets the focal point is the person who can put that on.
Yeah, tell the story.
So if you're going out there and you're just doing a match to tell a story, that's great. Of course you're going to get recognition as the wrestler that you are. But at the end of the day, when it comes to, you know, networks, and it comes to making deals with different networks, this is that, and it comes to getting your face on the camera and having a mic in your hand and having your face, you know, a full circle in the picture of what's going on in the dynamics of the program and the atmosphere of the show, you definitely want to be well-rounded in that aspect as well. And that's why I thrive on 4-2-3 Get Fame, because I've already proven my work in ring. I've done my in ring work. Yeah. My body of history does not lie. I have a huge, huge body of history. 8 years worth. I go back in the industry from different continents, whether it be in Canada, whether it be in Mexico, whether it be right here in the United States, of course, up and down California, to the East Coast, on iPay-per-view, on local television, on national television. I have my body of work. But what it is right now with 4-2-3 Get Fame, and what I'm trying to really push with the audience, is not only do I have my body of work in ring, I am now accruing a body of work outside the ring, which allows me to take a step back, which allows me to grab the mic, which allows you as fan, as the consumer, to hear my voice and allow me to be the one to put over an angle of situation or story, which I can do, because like I said earlier in this podcast, is that I am a fan of every aspect of wrestling that tells the story. And I'm just trying to be a fascinate of all those aspects that tell and build a story. And I can do each and every aspect that does so.
And using the 4-2-3 get fame and still being famous B, being under contract with Lucha Underground, are you still able to use the name outside of that? Because I noticed that some of the wrestlers are coming in as other characters, and you know, there's other wrestlers that are coming in that aren't using their real name, so they can still use it outside of that. You know, how's that working with you on all that?
Well, as of right now, what it is I am Famous B. Lucha Underground has decided to go ahead and use Famous B as a character on their show. Mm-hmm. And they're using the same Famous B who was Famous B on the independent scene 7 years before they signed me to their show. So I am Famous B, whether you see me on Lucha Underground or whether you see me on the independent scale. It's just that I'm doing different services depending on what show that I am. So I'm hired as Famous B as either a wrestler, which is the majority of what independent companies hire me to do, which is wrestle, or I'm Famous B on Lucha Underground, which is the agent that you see who does the 4-2-3 get fame, and I represent clients within the track.
Nice. And I mean, you've been to so many different promotions too. What promotion would you say that you would call home? What is your home base?
Well, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy is my home. That's my home base. Where I got my start. It's where I trained first. It's the company that taught me about independent wrestling. It's the company that taught me how to wrestle. It's the company that taught me everything that I needed to know. And I took everything that they taught and I ran with it. I made it my own, and I learned, and I tried to, obviously, going forth in the future, reinvent the game as much as I possibly can, not only to put myself on the map, but to put my school on the map as well.
Yeah.
And it's something that I take great pride in. It's something that I absolutely love 100% day in and day out. And the more and more I do this, the more and more I become more positive and convicted to do this and aspired to do this. And it just falls into my lap, you know, 100-fold, to where I'm just obviously very happy, humble, and fascinated every time it does. So to answer your question specifically, of course, Santino Brothers, number one. PWG will be a close second. It's been home to me. It's been one of the things that really took me as a professional wrestler and skyrocketed me to the moon in terms of my confidence. Because you got to figure, debuting in PWG in only my second year of being a professional wrestler meant so much to me, and it gave me all the tools and the confidence to be who I've become since then. And obviously, Lucha Underground as well, because being home-based right here in L.A., who's given me the confidence to not only wrestle for them, but to carry out an angle for them, who's, you know, giving me the ball and the mic to be a asset in terms of a managerial presence, who's allowed me to do so many great things for them outside of just being in the ring as a professional wrestler. I definitely got to give them a cred and due to to my overall experience of who I am in terms of who what makes me a star in the sport of professional wrestling as well.
Yeah, and you know, knowing, you know, Lucha Underground picked you up, you know, every time I always heard Famous B, I always thought, for one reason or the other, that you were really like leaning towards the Lucha style of wrestling and high flying and all that. And, you know, and now like you're at Lucha Underground and there's always a Lucha connection when it comes to Famous B. Do you feel that maybe, you know, that's not your style, or maybe, you know, just because of the way you're trained? But what is it with Famous B and Lucha?
Oh, that's definitely my style. One thing you got to understand is that Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy is not one-track fighting. It's not one-dimensional. I was training Lucha from day one. I love Lucha, obviously, as a fan. And when I got into the business and I was trained as a professional wrestler, I was trained both. I guess you can call me like an ambidextral when it comes to pro wrestling and Lucha Libre, because my early days of training wasn't just, okay, here's American wrestling, and this is how American wrestling goes, and this is how we're going to train you, and this is where you're going to learn. Like, no, it wasn't like that. Santino Brothers, when you come to the Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy, you learn and you understand how to American pro wrestling, Lucha Libre, Japanese strong style, catch can, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, the whole nine. And the two things that I took to, and the two things that most fascinated me with my training, which is where I really thrived in, is American pro wrestling style of how to work, obviously, because that's the, you know, the number one end all be all, the formulas of a professional wrestler, which you learn. And then number two, Lucha Libre, because Lucha Libre is so hand in hand. At that point, Lucha Libre was so hand in hand because, you know, yeah, Lucha Libre has invaded American pro wrestling since the early 90s, the mid 90s, 95. You know, ECW, when the influx of Ray and Psychosis and D'Amato and Eddie Guerrero and all these guys, you know what I mean? Like, they brought the presence of Lucha Libre in the mid-90s. I trained in 2008. So you figure, like, this style is already around. It was just that I went to a proper school who taught me how to do multiple things. So I was already in love with Lucha Libre because of what I saw as a kid in the early 90s, and I was able to learn both hand in hand, which is the plus of going to the school that I went to, which is Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy.
And what the trip too, what I realized was because of your love and respect for Lucha Libre and the culture, when we went down to Tijuana, there was actually like some older Mexican cats that were on the sidewalk behind the arena that were like, you know, like pointing you out, and they were like, oh, you know, there's Famous B or whatever, and we're standing on the side over here waiting to get in, and then they're over here, and they, you know, they were like downloading your picture, like showing each other, that is him, and yeah. You know, to me, I was like, dude, that's crazy that you've crossed over into even just the older generation of Lucha Libre fans. How does that make you feel?
Oh my God. It made me feel like a king, like Rey Mysterio, Rey Mysterio, the king of Lucha Libre. Yeah. You know, when you think of Lucha Libre, when you think of what it means, Rey Mysterio, he's the king. He's the king of Lucha Libre. He's the god of Lucha Libre. In the American eye, so to speak. And I'm not trying to compare myself to him, obviously, whatsoever. I'm not. But it made me feel like how he probably feels when everybody and their mama deems them that.
Yeah.
At that point in time, they're in that moment. Because, you know, like you said, you're not lying. I mean, obviously, this is a podcast. You're talking to me. We're interviewing me. We're chronicling, you know, my career. We're chronicling, you know, my training, my upbringing, what makes me who I am to this day. And obviously, you're not sugarcoating anything or just making shit up to make it sound awesome. Yeah. No, this happened.
Yeah, we lived it.
We lived this.
Yeah.
We're standing there, and I literally heard this. And to me, I didn't know how to take it because it's like one of those things where it's like, you know your worth because you know how much work you put in. You know how much effort you put in. You know what you deserve to get and what you don't. Yeah. But words can't describe when you go into another region or territory of where you put your work in, that your work has been passed along or transcended to that region, and you become the direct effect immediately in the prime of what that is. And words cannot describe you for that. And it was one of those things where I was just obviously taken back and really just blown away by the acknowledgement of the fans there outside of the arena. when we were around circling the building, words can't put that into a genre of how I felt, because it was like, you know, if anything, it was just more of a reminder of, yeah, everything that you've done has not been unnoticed, and it's for a reason. And just to keep going, young man. Keep going, young man, because you're a star. that's more or less of the feeling that I got and the thoughts that I keep receiving to this day. And I keep using that same mentality to keep going forth, a 100% man, full blast, and I will never stop. And because this is my sport. It's my passion. I love it. And it doesn't matter where I'm at. I don't care if I'm in LA. I don't care if I'm in up north, Cali. I don't care if I'm on the East Coast. I don't care if I'm in Mexico. I don't care if I'm in Canada. I don't care where I'm at. This is what I do. And, you know, like a reception like that is just the belief that people see, obviously. And I need to keep going, keep reaching people who's going to see what I have in store for the sport, because I have so much to give to the sport.
And knowing that you've been in all these different places and still having so much, so many years left in your career, you've already done so much in so many of these different promotions, and you've even taken it to another level, and you actually tried out for WWE. Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if many people know that about you. I fished that the little, couple knowledge nuggets out there, but yeah, you tried out for WWE. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I have tried out for WWE a couple times, and the first time I tried out for WWE was in 2012, let me just go back and rewind to January 2012, okay? I was about maybe 2 years into the business. January 2012 hit. This was when I was hot. This was when I was at my absolute peak, to where everybody and their mama just had to know what was going on with Famous B. Everybody and their mama had to book Famous B. Yeah. You know, this is when I was literally walking around with title belt from almost every promotion that I stepped foot in my territory and my region. I literally had about 5 titles on me, and I was just smoking. This was the first time I was deemed one of the top 500 in the PWI Best Wrestlers in the World, which was 2012. I made the list in the middle of the list at 255 for my first time. You know, I did incredible things this year, but this, you know, this was the very first time that I was called up to try out for WWE and be an extra for them, and you know, that which coincided with me trying out for them. And this was, you know, being the first time going into this experience for me was more or less like I viewed it very differently. I viewed it differently in the sense that it's like, okay, here we go. I'm about to embark on this journey. But when you do it, it's still more or less like you're still in like awe. You're in awe to the point where you really don't know how to react, because you have a perception based off of what you heard you should be. And based off what you heard what you should be and how you are at that point kind of like conflicts with each other. And I'm not sure if that makes very much sense to the fans and to everybody who's listening to this right now. But basically what I'm trying to say is I got a lot of feedback at that time from individuals who've been in that predicament and that position at that time. But I also needed to be in that moment to get my own predicament and my own perception of how everything is. So what I'm trying to say is the feedback that I got based off of what my perception was clashed. And I wouldn't say that it allowed me to be who I was, in which I was there to do. Not meaning that I did anything that I shouldn't have, because that's not the case at all. But just meaning that I went through the motions. I got my experience, and that was that. Nothing came of it. Okay, it is what it is.
But you got a chance to go back.
Of course, yeah. I got a chance to go back. It wasn't quickly. I got a chance to go back a couple years later. So I went, my first time I went, which is what we're talking about, was in 2012. I went back in 2014. Around August, around Summer Slam-ish, kind of like right around the time they were actually getting away from the whole just coming to L.A. and making SummerSlam their home in L.A. And every time SummerSlam comes to L.A., you know, all the L.A. guys get a tryout automatically kind of deal. It wasn't like that this year, because this in particular year, it was like, you know, they were in transition and moving away from L.A. But to make a long story short, 2014, my experience with going with them was a lot different, because the first time I went, which was the one and only time I went for those tape-ins for those 2 days, Monday, Tuesday, which was the Raw SmackDown, where I tried out both days, and I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to do. I just had, you know, I just went through emotion. The second time around, since I had that experience, I knew exactly what I would do differently. I knew exactly how I would capitalize on the moment. I knew exactly how I would grab the opportunity and seize the opportunity by the throat and just grab it and just pull it and gravitate it towards everything in my being to show them, like, hey, I am a player in this game. And I know that you guys obviously are at the top of the mountain in our sport today. And I'm just trying to be noticed. This happened, and I went through my next, you know, when I got the call back 2 years later in 2014, around August, I went through the same exact motion in terms of being hired as a extra, doing extra work, doing tryout matches before, you know, their taping. And I ended up working two tryout matches. And both tryout matches were, in my opinion, phenomenal. And I say phenomenal based on the reaction that I got from the critique. Nice. Normally, William Regal is a critique. Normally. For this particular reason, because he was a critique in 2004, the first time that I tried out for them and worked for them. And normally, he's always the critique for the talent when they go into any town and they try out the locals. For this particular reason, in L.A., he was unavailable because he was going through some health issues and he just was unavailable. So when in 2014, when I did my second tryout, to stand in for him was a host of other supporting cast. And after I did, you know, my tryout matches and, you know, I did everything I needed to do, I got a tremendous amount of praise and recognition from different individuals. I'll name a few. Mark Henry, Goldust, Big Show, and a couple of others, even Mark Carano, one of the talent agents there. And, you know, the vibe was that day, at least, or my trial matches, was that they really gravitate to me. They really like what I do. That was my vibe. But, of course, being there and doing what you have to do and then going forward and trying to figure out what's the next step is another task in itself, you know. So I just kind of let the dust settle, and of course they did their tapings for the day, which was SmackDown, this particular day that I'm talking about. And you know, I was approached by a couple of the officials who was watching the match. And when I say the match, I mean my match earlier in the day, which is my tryout, which who are stars, and you know, obviously they worked this show themselves. And I got great feedback from a couple of them. But at the end of the day, the final feedback was that at that time, I was too small. They wanted to see me put on more weight and come back in the future with that weight. And then, obviously, who knows what would happen? Sky's the limit. That's the mindset that I took from my experience the second time. It just so happens that the same week I was approached by Lucha Underground. Oh, and nice. I went and I auditioned for Lucha Underground. And Lucha Underground hit me up and said that they wanted to use me and sign me for the show. So, it all in that same week, I was hit with the WWE version of "You're Too Small," we want you to gain about 20 pounds and come back to us. Or do we go underground where it's like, we like you, we like what you do, let's go right now.
Yeah,
nice. And I took the for sure bet, I took the right now, and I finally checked.
Nice. And I mean, you've been involved in the industry in all kinds of different aspects, which I respect what you're doing right now on the managerial side and grabbing the mic, and knowing what you know how things work in WWE and seeing you know like having a taste of that. Tell me some of the differences between the independents and WWE.
Oh man, I say one thing about the independents and WWE in terms of differences. Like the independents, it's like you have to be quicker on your toes. It's like when it comes to the independents, you can be thrown out there at the spur of the moment, and you have to tell the story of what the independent company wants you to tell right then and there, as of a WWE. Where you kind of have a little bit more time. You have more time to dwell on it. Nothing is like spur of the moment in terms of like, okay, you're not going to go and just change a storyline or reflect on a storyline or include yourself in a storyline to where you don't really like, to where you're just going to do it at the spur of the moment. To whereas the independent is, it's like, it's kind of like more or less like you have to rely on who you are as a person and a character to get over whatever it is that you're trying to get over. Yeah. And I think that's one of the biggest things is that independently, you have to think, speak, react, wrestle, and be on point and on cue at all times, because anything can change at the drop of a dime.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure that's the same way with a national television program like WWE or the Fed. I'm sure that's the same as well, but at least you still have some sort of a guidance or a lead way to know exactly where it is that you're going in terms of the story that you're trying to tell. And I think that's one of the major differences between the two.
Would you say that there's behind the scenes that there's a lot of politics involved in the wrestling industry?
You goddamn right, Ruben. It's a lot of involved.
I had to throw that in there.
In the business. Oh, man, of course you have to throw that in there, man. There's a lot of politics involved in the industry. I like to look at myself as one of the guys who has made it to the point that I've made it to today without using the politics in the business, and you know, just to educate our fans on what we're talking about and to educate them on what politics is and what exactly we mean. Basically, the politics of the business is basically manipulating the fact that you're friends with the powers that be in a promotion, in a federation, in a company, whatever that may be. And you're a worker in that same company, but you're friends with them, and you use your friendship to get whatever it is that you're trying to portray to an audience of that company ahead of everybody else. I myself have never been that way. I'm not saying that I haven't been friends with anybody who are powers to be to a company, but what I'm saying is I never utilized the fact of a friendship to be in a certain spot or to be where I am. I take the pride of every time I get a foot to wrestle or do, whatever it is that I do, I get booked just clearly and off the strength and the fact that whoever is booking me believes in me and what I'm doing to put me in that spot. And I will never, ever, ever, ever try to manipulate that person to take somebody else who's in a similar spot or a significant spot and take that spot away from them. Just put me in. And that's the beauty of Famous B. The beauty of Famous B is that you can take it to the bank and you can bet your ass 100% that everything you've seen me do is purely off the strength of the confidence that whoever put me in that light or put me in that predicament believed in me to do it, not because I fucking hustled my way into that spot. 100.
There you go. And you know, being, you know, in so many independents and then being in Lucha Underground, and, you know, when you're off season in Lucha Underground, you know, you still hit up all the independents and you're still making your round in the circuits. Tell me about some of the challenges, you know, the challenges and the ups and downs in the industry with pretty much everything, you know, making money and staying relevant. How does that work for you?
Obviously, I mean, the only challenge is in that aspect is just making money, because not everybody has the same budget as Lucha Underground does. Not everybody has the same budget as this company does, or X company does, or that company does. The bottom line is, I'm a main player in a company called Lucha Underground, and they have the budget that they have to run their shows. And I am a talent that's caught up in that realm and that aspect or that facet. And that's what I do. When I go outside of that, there's a lot of companies that don't have that same, you know,
the same
criteria.
Budgets.
Yeah. Same budgets and the same criteria to do so. So therefore, when it comes to me being a professional and a talent working, you know, I have to choose my battles wisely. And, you know, the battles I choose, and the battles I choose, I don't. And that's what leads me to being on the shows that you see me on, and that leads me to being on the shows that you don't see me on. But you know, if you're used to seeing me on the show and I'm not on it no more, it's for a reason. But if you're used to seeing me on a show that you haven't, and I am now, it's for a reason. It's all for a reason. But that's between me and the powers that be amongst these shows. So all I'm saying is, when you get the pleasure and privilege of seeing me on a flyer for any show coming up, or me doing anything or appearance or anything that's coming up, go out of your way and take that bet and take that sure chance to go and see me, because you may not see me as frequently as you're used to seeing me that you have in the past, because I'm always progressing.
But, you know, I mean, being in the industry for as long as you have, is there, you know, challenges that someone that maybe hasn't been to the level of like where you're at with Lucha Underground, some of these younger cats that are getting involved, you know, I mean, I've seen it firsthand. Some of these guys are just, you know, getting paid hot dogs and chips and mm-hmm. you know, sometimes not even gas money.
I was that guy too. So that's clear the air, and let's make the record straight. I was that guy getting paid hot dogs just too. I've done it. I wrestled for that. Believe that. But go ahead with your question, Rube. I didn't mean to cut you off.
And that's my point is like, what are the challenges with this? Because sometimes you can walk away and then the promoter could be like, hey man, sorry, you know, we didn't make enough. I can't pay you. I mean, is that you run into that a lot? Is that the kind of stuff that makes up the independent circuit?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, see, the thing with that is that it just depends on the individual, depends on the talent, it depends on the farmer, it depends on the worker. You're going to run into that at some point in your career. The thing with that is you have to analyze where you're at, and this goes with being smart about where you're at in your career, depending on if you accept that answer or not. Because if you haven't done shit in the business to tell him to take his hot dog and shove it up his own ass, then guess what? You can't make that determination to tell him that. But if you've done enough to say, you know what, you can take your bag of chips and you can go sell that shit on the corner and you can keep me and you can miss me from your show and I'll go on and continue on about my way and do whatever it is that I'm going to do and I'm going to continue to thrive, then for sure. But if you need that person's show to get a name, to get that match in, to get that camera time, to get that in-ring time, then you're gonna do that, and you're going to eat that hot dog at the end of the day. You're going to go home, and you're going to find another way to make money to keep your lights on.
Yeah. But I respect that.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if that's not the case, then you're going to tell them to shove it. So it just depends on where you're at that point in time when you're being approached about what you're being approached about. And that's where you have to be. That's when you have to be smart in this business. Because a lot of guys either they indulge in it too much or they don't indulge in it enough.
Yeah, that's true.
You can prematurely tell them, like, okay, well, corn dog, a hot dog on the stick. You can tell them to fuck off, but at the same time, you ain't no TV. You ain't making noise in the industry. You're not doing nothing.
Yeah.
You tell him to screw off. You never know. His show may headline somebody who proposes to his girlfriend in the ring who may get 2 million hits, and you might have been the match right before that, which gets 50,000.
And being in so many indie promotions and even being around the cats that you are in Lucha Underground, you're around some serious talent. What talent right now would you say that we should look out for? Like who's the next to just be the it dude?
Everybody in Lucha Underground. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in the company. But I'm just saying that because they're a genius in terms of who they're signed, who they put on, who they give airtime in the ring to. Everything makes sense. And it makes sense not only in a professional wrestling realm, not only in a Lucha Libre realm, not only in the television realm, but just in wrestling as a general, as a whole. Everybody has their due, and everybody deserves to be seen in the spotlight that they're put on in terms of Lucha Underground. And that's the majority of the talent outside of myself, obviously, that I see in any one company, because obviously Lucha Underground is the end-all, be-all, the one company for me at this moment, at this point in time. And they do a fantastic job of showcasing the best of the best talent. And everybody who comes along those walls, and the walls of that temple deserve their due in terms of being, like, like research in terms of not only in Lucha Underground, but their history, their background, and everything that they've become up to this point deserves to be researched, because Lucha Underground got there for a reason. So everything that you see in Lucha Underground in terms of talent are people that the fans need to go and research independently to understand exactly what made them who they were for Lucha Underground to go and get them. Because how you view them and see them in Lucha Underground is very different from how they got their name or got their place in Lucha Underground, because as an independent performer, their appearance is very different versus what they're portraying or projecting in Lucha Underground. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
just like in any other fed, like WWE, for example, if you see a guy who comes up through the ranks of NXT and then goes on to the main roster, if you look at their work before they got to WWE, period, you'll be surprised. Like, oh, wow, like, this individual did this match just to get there. Yeah. And it's the same thing with Lucha Underground. We all have done something significant to get us to the point of being main players.
Yeah.
And Lucha Underground.
But we're
still very untamed, so to speak.
No, and you definitely have some seasoned veterans in Lucha Underground, and some of these cats, I mean, yeah, they have a track record, and you know, you just go back and you can see, you know, stuff on YouTube from them from like years back in the day. But then, you know, you mentioned NXT and going up the ranks. Recently, you know, I've been keeping up with one particular WWE wrestler, Enzo Amore. You familiar with him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I am not through the business. I'm only familiar with him through what I've seen through his work through the different companies, which is NXT and up to the main roster.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm familiar with.
Well,
I've met him once, but I've never met him through the ranks of the independents. So, yeah.
Well, that's my point right there, is that he, from my understanding and the research that I've done on him, my understanding is that he never did anything in any of the indies. He got himself an audition, like he filmed himself, he put a video on YouTube, and had this guy who was training Triple H watch this video, and then Triple H said, "All right, cool, send him through, and we'll give him an audition, like, you know, we'll let him try out," and the rest was history. They gave him a shot at NXT, and he went from NXT, and then he got hurt while he was at NXT, broke his leg, and then he took some time off, and then during his time off, he brushed up on his mic skills. So he was watching all these old school wrestlers and them on the mic, and then he just came back just ferocious on the mic, and then, you know, he went up to the ranks on NXT and made it to Monday Night Raw. But what's your thoughts on someone like him? I mean, he's dope on the mic. He's one of my favorites right now. But watching someone like him on the main roster on WWE, but never had any history in the indies, like how often does something like that happen?
I don't think that it happens very often, but, you know, like, I don't think that it happens very often, but I will say that kudos to him for continuing to pursue and continuing to try something that he wanted to do. I mean, I am not anybody, and I am not anybody to say, you know what? He doesn't deserve to be there because he didn't wrestle his way up the independent rank, or he didn't climb his way up the ladder, or he didn't do this, he didn't do that. The fact is that he's where he's at, and that's bad.
Yeah.
And I'm not a hater. I am not a hater. I'm a congratulator. So you know what? If he put a video out on YouTube, just like Soulja Boy did, to get a rap deal or to get a rap contract and to come out with his first album without putting out a mixtape, then kudos to that person. Because you know what? At the end of the day, they still did what it took to get to that next level, and they still have that ambition. They still have that fire. They still had that drive. They still had everything that it took to take somebody from a major label to say, you know what, we want to invest in that person. Let's see what they got. And then when they invested in that person and saw what they got, that person continued to thrive and take it to the next level and sustain injury and sustain shit talking and sustain this and that. So you still need to give them their due and their credit to whatever it is that they were doing.
Yeah.
You still need to give them their due for whatever it was that they were doing to get them in that spot, in that predicament. And I know I may sound a little bit different from what the average answer would have been from a, let's say, a wrestler who's been grinding for 20 years on the independent scene, trying and clawing to get into the Fed and to get on the next level and this and that. But I am not that guy, because you know why? I am the guy that I am. I am the guy that's doing what I am meant to do. I am the guy in the spotlight that I'm meant to be in. And I embrace that. A lot of guys cry because they think they're supposed to be in the spotlight they are, or they're not in the spotlight where they think that they're supposed to be, or they look at somebody else and say, he shouldn't be there, I should, or whatever the case may be. I don't look at that. I don't look at the industry like that. I look at the industry like 4-2-3 Get Fame. That's where Famous B is supposed to be right now. Where this individual we're talking about is at, that's where he's meant to be right now.
Yeah.
And I'm good with both of them. I'm good with it all.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not a hater, I'm a congratulator.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. You never know where I'm going to go. You never know where he's going to go. You never know where the next guy's going to go.
Yeah.
The bottom line is you work hard to your ethic, to your standard, to your perspective. When you work hard to your perspective, you're going to go as far as you can possibly go according to your standard of life, and you're going to excel.
Yeah.
That's the end all be all.
And
that's the bottom line.
And being where you're at right now with the character and the 4-2-3 Get Fame, the whole gimmick seems to be going over with the fans. How much right now in the state of wrestling, where wrestling's at right now, how much do you think getting over with the fans has to do with the direction of a character? Because you got characters right now in WWE that are getting, you know, cheered and booed, and it's kind of confusing. You know, people are, you know, chanting for John Cena, and in the same sentence saying John Cena sucks. Same thing with Roman Reigns, and they're booing Roman Reigns. And you know, how does that look from the perspective of the direction that a character goes in because of getting over with the fans?
Well, what I think about that is, I think that what the fans is, like anything else, is that everybody has a short attention span. So all characters, if they're cool or dope or new or innovative or relevant for that time, are going to be over. But if you keep that same thing going without changing it up in any way, shape, form, or aspect, it's going to get stale and it's going to get old. So all the, you know, all the anti, you know, all the hate and all the, you know, like, because, you know, like you said, okay, let's take John Cena, for example. When his character first popped, it was hard. Everybody was on it. Everybody loved it. Everybody learned. Everybody fucking yelled word right. Everybody fucking dug the slapness. Everybody laughed when he threw the fucking nuts in Michael Cole's face. And, you know, word life and John Cena was over as fuck. He was over as Rover. But when you do that 12 years later, you know, not in those same instances, but, you know, ideally the same concept where he dresses the same and he basically preaches the same thing, then of course you're going to have, like, those rebels who say, like, okay, we've seen enough of it. I think that what it is as an individual, as a performer, as a wrestler, and this goes hand-in-hand with the company who you're doing it for, because they obviously, in terms of creative, have a say-so in what you do, obviously, because they're creative of that show. You kind of have to kind of walk the fine line and come to grip together as a performer and as a creative and kind of find a way to reinvent yourself. On the independent scene, we don't have creative people to tell us how to reinvent ourselves. So creatively, it's up to us as the performer to reinvent ourselves. And you take a guy like Joey Ryan, I'll use him as a perfect example. He has been an independent talent who's been in and out of top promotions, whether it be PWG, TNA, this, and that, whatever. He always independently have reinvented himself to make himself relevant. Now he's in Japan. Now he's doing this. Now he's doing things today that he wasn't doing 5-6 years ago. And the reason why is because he himself has reinvented himself. Now, if a top company can reinvent their talent and produce this and put this on their shows, then wrestling wouldn't be getting as much kickback as they do nowadays for having the same old shit, the same storylines, the same mediocrity, et cetera, et cetera. Independent talents are doing it on their own, and main fed companies need to do it themselves. And that's the way I look at it.
And knowing all that, you know, you're in a good place where you're at with not just in your career of where you're at, but with the companies that you're involved with, the people that you're surrounding yourself, and you know that this is where you're supposed to be. But if you weren't wrestling, what would you be doing?
That's funny. That's a good question. that's funny, and that's a good question. I know you may laugh, but, you know, when you ask me that question, I smile and I'll, like, gladly answer you with the perfect answer, and that answer is wrestling.
There you go.
And absolutely, because you know what? I found my niche in life. Because, see, what you got to understand is wrestling just fall into my lap. You know, wrestling is my life. Wrestling is what I was meant to do. Wrestling is what I was born to do. Everything that's happened between the time I was 20 years old and 23 years old was all a life lesson that told me and slapped me in the face and said, hey, you should be a professional wrestler. Everything that I did leaded up to me being a professional wrestler. When I was in the fifth grade, I was in the oratorical contest for my fifth grade class where I went in fifth grade and I recited a poem in front of people and I didn't have a problem doing it. That was a stepping stone to me cutting promos on Lucha Underground. When I was in high school, and I thought that I wanted to be the next JC, and I was in Cyphers, and I was rapping, and I was writing songs, and I got a tattoo on my arm with a microphone that says rap something, and I was performing at his showcase shows to be a rapper. That was cutting promos. That was staking my claim in front of crowds. And at 23, when I got in that ring and I realized that me being wanting to be a basketball player and having athleticism in high school was some of the skills that I needed to have some sort of athleticism later on in my life, it all came full circle when I got in the ring. And when I got in the ring, everything that happened to me prior to that came full circle. And I said, this is what I want to do. This is where I'm going to be. And this is what I'm going to do. And I did it wholeheartedly, 100%. I've done incredible things in the business that I would never have imagined before that.
Nice.
And I know for a fact that this is a sport. This is the person that I was born and meant to be in this lifetime. So you can't tell me otherwise. You can't tell me nothing, because the people who told me otherwise at the time when I was doing it was wrong. And I proved them wrong to this day. And now I just laugh at them. Ha 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 ha. You're nothing. Yeah, shut up. Don't try to give an autograph now. But
right.
I'm famous B. I was born to be a professional wrestler. Everything that I did that I thought I was supposed to do leading up to becoming a professional wrestler, which I didn't know until I started to train, was all stepping stones in order to get me to the level that I would need to be right now as a performer, as an entertainer, as a professional wrestler. I would not be on El Rey Network if it wasn't for me performing a Martin Luther King speech in third grade.
Yeah, there it is, man. Well, yeah, I know, you stay pretty heavy too on your social media, and you really put the whole thing out with everything you're doing on Lucha Underground too, and you could see like the character, that the 423 character, like it is you. You know what I'm saying? And it comes out on that. Being on social media, how important do you think it is to stay connected to the fans out there and to stay relevant? Because there's a lot of wrestlers that don't do much of the social media. I don't want to name any names, but even just some local cats here that I'm like, man, you really got to push your invest in yourself, and just do something to keep your name out there, and even if you're not, in the circuit right now, you're taking a break or do whatever, like you got to stay relevant. What does that look like in your world? Because I know, you stay up on your social media, but what do you say to those that aren't?
I mean, it's extremely important. I just think that the ones that who aren't are the ones that who don't. That's how you distinguish the ones who aren't true to the character versus who they really are. I think that me being myself and who I am, the character is not far-fetched from who I really am. So when you are talking to this person, when you're talking to the fucking Exotic Tiger, and you hit up the Shaydog 26, at Shaydog 26, aka Extreme Tiger, and you try to say some Extreme Tiger shit to Shaydog 26, he ain't got nothing to say. Why? Because he doesn't correspond to what the character is.
Yeah.
Because he's not the character. He's only the character when it comes time to get paid and he puts on a half-ass impression of what Extreme Tiger is. But at the end of the day, he's Shaydog 26, the person who typed up that's the name I want to be on Twitter. whatever. Who cares? So fucking what? When you type up Famous B, you're going to get Famous B 423 Get Fame, the same Famous B that's sitting up at his house when you fucking tweet him, the same Famous B you get when you see walk out on El Rey Network down the stairs to the temple, the same Famous B you're going to get when you see him do a fucking that slide in front of your face on the independent scene, the same Famous B you're going to get when you see him training you as a newbie when you walk into Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy for the first day. That's the same person you're going to get. So that's exactly what you get. And that's the difference between all these Twitter handles and these gimmicks and these independent gimmicks and these different people who follow these gimmicks, who just throw these gimmicks out just to say that this is what I am when I bullshit around when I'm wrestling. But I don't bullshit around. I'm the real fucking deal. And that's the reason why you get who you get. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come on, Ruben.
I feel you.
Talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me, Ruben.
I feel
talk
you, man.
Talk to me, Ruben. I'm the real deal, that's bro. I am the real deal, Holyfield. You know what I'm saying? Famous B is Famous B, and I'm Famous B Universal. It doesn't matter where you find Famous B at. You can find me at Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy. You can find me on Lucha Underground. You can find me on the independent scene. You can find me at SCW June 18th versus Little Cholo and Willie Mack. You can find me everywhere.
Where do we find you on social media?
Oh, man, my social media, at FamousB23, Twitter. You can find me, FamousB23 is my my profile name for my YouTube, because I'm on YouTube channel, of course, where I post a lot of my matches and, you know, other shit that I post in terms of videos where I'm just screwing around. Instagram, FamousB_23. I have a FamousB Facebook fan page, which is a official FamousB fan page. And if you just want to follow me on Facebook, my name is FamousB, all one word, last name Brian. So.
Nice. Cool, man. Well, there you have it, man. I know I've been wanting to do this interview, you know, for a long time, for a minute.
Forever.
Yeah, we've been kind of going back and forth. Like, all right, let's do it this day, let's do it that way. And I know you stay busy too, man. So, you know, I try to, you know, kind of, you know, throw it at you every now and then. Hey, how's this day? But no, man, I appreciate you doing this. I know we're doing this in the middle of the night, man. So. Thank you for your time, brother. I know, it's been about an hour 40, and dude, you know, it's been one of the longer interviews, man. And I think it's very, everything that we talked about, man, is very relevant and very informational. So any words of wisdom real quick before we go on, anybody who wants to come up and get into the industry, is there anything that you think they should know before they get involved in the wrestling industry?
Okay, well, first of all, let me just touch on what you just said right now. You know, we've been trying to do this interview for so long, and, you know, our schedules clash and miss and mesh and this and that. But right now, to end all be all, we finally got all that passes. We finally have the perfect day, the perfect time to come together and talk and really have a real shit type situation, conversation about the business, about my career, about everything that's going on in the industry. I thank you for that. I appreciate you having the patience to deal with my schedule and to deal with everything that comes along with me and in terms of being Famous B. I am definitely happy and glad to be on the show. You know, Ruben Torres connected with Famous B. I am honored to be on the show. You have some great guests on. Yes, sir. You have some fantastic guests on. You had a stellar lineup on in the past, and I'm absolutely honored to be one of the next guests, you know, coming up in the future when you put this out. And just thank you for your patience, brother. You know, I love you, and, you know, it's awesome, you know, every time we get together and every time we connect, no pun intended. But we'll be doing a lot more connected in the future, because we got a lot more things coming up in the future, man, that we're going to get our hands into and we're going to sink our teeth into. So thank you for being a partner. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a brother. Thank you for having me on the show. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, up and comers that's looking to get into the business, the only advice I have to say is, look, check this out. Why wait? Don't fucking wait. I was the fucking guy who waited, but I didn't wait very long. I only waited for a few months. I wish I would have got started a lot sooner than I did. And I'm not talking about a few months. When I first got the flyer and when I first realized that there was a school to train to be a professional wrestler at, I wish I would have got the memo years ahead. I wish I was like a Rey Mysterio who started in Tijuana, Mexico at 14 years old.
Yeah.
14 years old!
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? 14 fucking years old. That's fucking awesome. I started at 23. 23, look, that's 9 years later.
Yeah.
We both accomplished a lot. Obviously accomplished way more because we started before me. But we both have the same passion. Look, we're in the same fucking company right now. Rey Mysterio's and Lucha Underground for fantasy. Okay. That's fucking phenomenal. But he started 9 years before me because he found it. I didn't find it until way later. So when you find it, go ahead and go after your dreams, because you never fucking know. Don't doubt yourself. Just go for it. Balls to the wall. Do it. Right then and there. Spur of the moment. Find out if you can do it right then and there. Because if you just sit around wondering if you can, you're just wasting your time, because you never know. You might can, and you know, you might be wasting all that time, and you might just do it, and you might just regret the time you wasted wondering if you can. So that's my take on it.
There you go, man. Some words of wisdom right there. Some words of wisdom. Nah, man. Well, thank you. Is there anything else you wanna plug real quick?
Oh man, I wanna plug you, bro. Ruben Torres connected with Ruben Torres, man. I mean, this is such an awesome thing that you're doing, man. And I've seen so many great guests in the past, from Lil Cholo to Conan to this guy, that guy. You know, I'm just happy to be another entity in the business that you have, interviewed. And I'm just very fond of what you do. And keep going, man. And do your thing, and you know, the world needs more of you, Ruben Torres. So follow my boy, check my boy Ruben Torres out, man, and you know, let's get it, man. Let's take this professional wrestling world and let's just take individuals' experiences and let's just throw it in everybody's ears from left to right. And hopefully everybody is listening and they can take that with a grain of salt and they can throw it in somebody else's ears. And we can keep the sport alive, because that's what the sport needs. The sport is a fantastic sport. It's a sport, professional wrestling sport that I grew up off of. You know, I'm sure you have, Ruben. I'm sure your past guests grew up off of. I'm sure all of our listeners have grew up off of. Yeah. And let's just keep this shit alive by just talking about it, by throwing it out on social media, by hashtagging it, by tweeting it, by Facebooking it, by Googling it, by, you know, the whole nine, man. Let's keep professional wrestling alive, man, because, you know, WWE is obviously the giant sport, but it's not the end-all be-all, man. Let's just take this sport as a whole, and let's just embrace it, and let's just love it, and let's nurture it, let's upbring it, and let's just take this shit, and let's just make it as big as we possibly can, man, because we're fighting boxing. We're fighting UFC, we're fighting the NBA. The NBA finals is popping, you know, in this month of May/June. And, you know, baseball and hockey finals is going on. Let's take professional wrestling, man. Let's just take it to a new level, man, because there's independent wrestling in your fucking own hometown, your own city, your own space that you're probably not even aware of. So let's just take professional wrestling, man, and let's just put it back on our map again, and let's make it hot like it was, like, back in the mid/late 90s, like the Attitude Era style. And yeah. Let's go.
There you go, man. I love that, man. I respect that highly, and I love the industry too. I'm kind of coming in more as, you know, on a fan perspective, and you know, I had a little bit of history working with WCW back in the day with Conan and Ray, and you know, they hooked me up doing some video stuff back in the day. But I'm coming in as a fan, and I'm intrigued by the behind the scenes stuff, and to me I love to share everybody's stories. You know, I love to kind of shed light on some of the behind the scenes stuff that people don't talk about or sometimes don't get a chance to be asked certain questions that they want to, you know, certain things they want to express and don't get to, man. So I want to give a platform for some of the athletes and some of the people that are involved in all aspects. You know, so, you know, I'm hoping later to get some commentators and some more promoters and referees and all that stuff, is, you know, get all their perspectives as well. So, you know, I appreciate it just like you do, man. So thank you.
Not a problem, my man. You're doing a good deed, man, for the sport, man. So, you know, let's just take this and let's just ride with it off to the 2016th century. And right. Keep it going, and then hopefully sometime soon we'll see a part two, with Fantasy Connected with Ruben Torres, you know, man, let's keep it going.
There you go. Well, thanks, man, and we'll be catching up soon. Thank you for everything, man. There you have it, my man Famous B. Make sure you follow him on all the social media channels that he shouted out and he plugged in. Thank you guys for listening. I know we're nearing up on 2 hours, man. So thank you guys for sticking in there. Much love. Thank you, Famous B. And we will be connecting really soon to do a part two. So much love. We out of here. Stay tuned and stay connected. Share. Give us a review. Subscribe. Do all that good stuff. And spread the love. We are out of here. Ruben Torres, connected with Ruben Torres, all up in your ear hole. We are out of here.
4-2-3, get fame.
There it is. We out.